It's All Things Considered, Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, Hawaii getting a return visit from the legendary Rita Coolidge. Thursday, Kauai Beach Resort. Friday at the Mamiya Theater. Saturday at the Honoka'a People's Theater. And Sunday at the Mac. We have the Delta Lady herself on the line. Aloha and mahalo, Rita. Thank you for doing this.
Well, thank you. I have to say that All Things Considered is one of my favorite shows.
Well, we like that. Thank you very much. And honored to have you on our humble version of it out here in the Aloha State. Now, dialing in on these performances you've got coming up.
Well, I'll have my four-piece band with me, guitar, drums, bass, and keyboards. We've been just dying to come to Hawaii and play for a long time, and it's been a while, and we'll be performing probably the things that people expect to hear, the former hits and some newer stuff. And unfortunately, I've just finished a new album, but I'm not allowed to play the new material yet.
We'll talk about that in 1 second. You were mentioning it's been a while since you've been in the islands, and certainly I don't think this was the last time you were in the islands, but I have this loyal listener, Steve, the mystery emailer, and he sends me a lot of local history stuff whenever somebody's about to be on the show or that kind of thing. He sent me some stuff on you, one date in particular, Hawaii debut. It was June 9th, 1973, Blaisdell Arena in Honolulu with Chris Christopherson. Keyboard player was Mike Utley, now in Buffett's band. Any kind of memories of that show that come to mind?
Well,
probably not.
You know what? I honestly remember being in Hawaii for that gig. You know, if I could be so blunt, when I came home from Hawaii, I was expecting our first child.
Oh, wow.
I do have great memories of that trip.
There you go. And well described as well. Perfect for radio. Well, that's something special right there. You were mentioning the new record. Before we get into some of your history, why can't you play any of it? And give us a little preview of what the record we're not going to hear will be.
Well, you know what? On this record, I really just had this strong feeling about going back to my roots, and not the roots of me and music, period, but my early recordings. We went back to Sunset Sound Recording Studios, where I did probably my first 10 albums and a couple of albums with Chris. It's one of two studios from the 70s that still has been operational and up and running for all these years. And the reason that I can't play the record is because people have phones and they record things on their phones. And if I played new music from the record, it would be on YouTube before the record came out.
A weird world we live in these days, huh?
Yeah.
So let's go back. So many cats, I could never get to all of them with you, but I made a little list of some of these just massive individuals that you are so fortunate enough to have on your resume. Let's just pick one or two of these out of here. So many experiences. Sometimes you must have to just pinch yourself, huh? The things you've gotten to do.
Well, you know what? Instead of pinching myself over and over, I just wrote a book. So
that's right. That's true. That's a very good...
I don't have to remember it anymore. I could just read it.
Yep. Jimi Hendrix. Talk about his how you first got to know Jimmy.
Well, I didn't know Jimmy well. I met him through Delaney and Bonnie, because the Delaney Bonnie Band were so huge in Los Angeles. And, you know, I was just kind of on the sideline watching all these great people come and sit in. And that's how I met Jimmy, at the Palladium in Los Angeles one night when Delaney and Bonnie were playing. And Jimmy, you know, just with his guitar comes out on stage and immediately became part of the band. I was just absolutely smitten. But Jimi Hendrix had a charismatic way about him, about just the way he moved through time and space, and the way he, obviously, the way he played.
Warm and gentle sort of personality? Or
absolutely, totally warm and gentle and embracing.
On the opposite side of the spectrum, at least the one time I met him, it didn't seem anything like the way we're describing Jimmy, but who knows, you probably have a different rapport with him. Roger Waters?
I met Roger probably in the 1980s. I would do gigs in England, and someone would say, Roger Waters is here, and he wants to come back and say hello.
Wow.
So I met him literally touring in England, and he was spending time in Los Angeles and was working on his album. And I got a phone call one day, and he just said, I really want you on my record. And I went, no problem. You don't even need to pay me. Where do I go?
Right. Bob Dylan is also in there, as if we don't have enough of the cornerstones of rock. Explain that remarkable one.
Well, I met Bob when Chris and I were in Mexico. Chris was filming Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, and Bob was in that movie, and totally unpredictable. His family was there with him, Sarah and their five children, and Bob, I don't think he had any experience around film, and for me, the funniest thing was his lack of continuity with coming to work every day with a different hat on, and he would literally go into the wardrobe truck at different times during the day and take hats. And the front closet in the house they were renting, Sarah opened the door one day and said, just look at this. And there was a stack of hats. There were probably 50 hats in that closet. Just a fascination with him. I don't know why. But he would go home at night and come back, and he would have on a different hat. He would walk on the set, and Bob would say, stop. Bob, where did you get that hat? That's not what you were wearing. Right. Where's the other one? He would go, I might have left it at home. They started wrangling all of Bob's wardrobe when he would leave the set in the afternoon, because I never knew what he would come back with.
Lose a critical piece of wardrobe if they didn't take it off of it.
Right. And then, of course, we went down to Mexico City and did the music.
Wasn't that right around when he was doing Knockin' on Heaven's Door? Wasn't that for that?
Yeah, that was for that film. Yeah.
Look at you, just coming right into all these historic things.
It's amazing to me. I've been so very blessed, and I am eternally grateful.
It's a very important attitude, because you never know when something's going to deliver an entirely different thing in one's life. One final area of story, and then we'll be done with your digging into. And these are just a handful. If you get the book, you'll be there getting the rest of the stuff that we don't have time to cover in a radio interview. But we can't leave out George Harrison touring with Delaney and Bonnie. And what can you add?
George Harrison was one of the sweetest people I ever met in my life. And I remember when we were on tour in England, and Eric Clapton was in the band, and we played the Royal Albert Hall with Delaney and Bonnie. Of course, Delaney Bramlett playing guitar, and George Harrison, Dave Mason, and Eric Clapton. But George came on tour with us and was on tour when we played Albert Hall. But he had said, if I ask Patty if I can go on tour with her, she's going to say no. So just swing by when you all leave Eric's place in the morning. Just swing by and ring the gate, and I'll be surprised, and then she won't be able to say anything. So that's what we did. We swung by the Abbey where he was living and said, want to go on tour with us for a few days? And he was like, sure, let me just go pack my things, which he had already done, of course. But we would sing all day. We would get up in the morning, we'd sing all day on the bus, go to sound check and sing, do the show and sing. After the show, we'd go to somebody's room and sing. And having George with us, he was such a humble guy and such a sweet man with just such great manners and absolutely no ego. And I would get on the bus, and George would already be on the bus, and he would sing every morning, lovely Rita, meet you, mate.
Wow.
My heart would just jump out of my chest.
To have a guy at his level, right at that point in his life, be that kind of down-to-earth dude is sort of, that's a lesson that I would imagine you carry with you forever.
I think so.
On a different angle entirely, when it comes to shaping the kind of person that you are, your Native American heritage and the things that maybe have informed the person that you are from that.
You know, I think if anything, my father was Cherokee, and because he was an Indian boy in Texas during a time when Indians were not treated well, not that they are now, but he would tell us stories about some of the horrible ways that people treated him and his family. He would call it the sting of prejudice. And the one thing that was constant with my dad, not just teaching his children, but all people, was to not see color, to really realize we all are equal. During civil rights, my father was an advocate for these sit-ins. He would say, if a black person walks into this church, and he was a Baptist preacher, if they walk into my church, into our church, you seat them like you would any other child of God. There were always people with their backs up about that, but he certainly raised four children who saw no color.
It's a beautiful way to leave it on. Rita Coolidge says a lot about who you are. Thursday, Kauai Beach Resort. Friday, Mamiya Theater. Saturday, Honoka'a People's Theater. Sunday at the Mac. A huge thrill to have Rita Coolidge back in the islands in the Aloha State, obviously bringing a whole lot of aloha with you. Great talking to you, Rita. I hope you had fun today. I hope this was not a hassle.
It was wonderful. Thank you, Dave. Aloha, this is Rita Coolidge. Don't even contemplate touching that dial. We're tuned to Dave Lawrence. Aloha, Dave.